she suddenly remembered something. She dashed back into the store. Tar, serving children dropped off by their parents, looked at her from the dining area, startled. Annalene ignored him and rushed behind the counter. Kneeling, she overturned the trash bin and started rummaging. Amid broken glass, she found the red comm link she'd discarded the night before. She clicked it on and hit the page key.
"Hello? Who is this?"
asked the genteel voice on the other end of the link. "This is Annalene Cowell," she said, speaking urgently. "I'm a neighbor of Orin Galt's. I know who you are. And you need to know what he's about to do." Chapter 42. Turn back now. Javet said the words at the store, supposedly Ben's message to Orin. Now, as Orin checked his blaster, the farmer heard the words again, or thought he did, in the wind whistling past his landspeeder. Orin hadn't known what to make of the message. If Ben planned to extort him, there'd have to be a meeting to parley. If he'd simply planned to expose the Galt's, he'd have to come to the claim. Or perhaps he would have gone in search of someone in authority, oblivious to the fact that no such power existed here. It didn't make sense.
15 clicks to Kenobi's hut,"
the goggle-wearing Mullen said, guiding the vehicle. Orin nodded. Holstering the blaster, he looked around in awe. His USV-5 rode at the apex of a flying wing of hovercraft, rocketing to the southwest. Every vehicle the settlers' call fund operated was here, plus Ulbricht's teams. Orin doubted there had ever been so many vehicles traversing the desert at once. He chuckled in spite of himself. "Yep, Orin, some pull you've got indeed." Maybe farming wasn't his calling. Tatooine didn't offer many chances for a career politician, but with that new empire on the rise, who knew? Whatever. Ben wouldn't know what hit him. Orin lifted his macro binoculars to scan the nothingness ahead. From the back seat, Vika pointed ahead to the left.
"There!"
In the middle of the desert, Ben stood brazenly astride a speeder bike. One of Orin's speeder bikes, Orin saw as he focused in. The one Jabe had ridden to the Ulbricht's. Mullen pointed.
"Everyone spotted him! Dad, I think we should turn back now!"
Orin looked up, startled.
"What did you say?"
"I said if we turn and double back, the left flank will follow us,"
his son said.
"We'll catch him between and herd him like a bantha."
"Oh, okay,"
Orin said, fishing inside the jacket for a handkerchief. He wiped the sweat from his brow. The land speeder lurched and wheeled, and a dozen plus repulsor craft followed. Orin trained the viewfinder on Ben again, still almost a kilometer away. The man simply looked back, serenely, as if aware Orin's eyes were on him. Finally, Ben activated the bike and turned.
"That's right,"
Orin said, grinning. "You turn back now." Kenobi was zigzagging across the open sand. West, back to his place, was barred to him by one line of landspeeders, north and the open range by the other. Orin had thought for a moment that the man might make for the Great Gap in the Jundland, the pathway the Jawas took to reach the western Dune Sea. But he seemed to be heading instead for the branch of the Jundland Highlands farther east. Orin figured it out immediately.
"Cute," he said.
"He's trying to get us into Hunter's Gorge."
Annalene had said she and Ben had witnessed the Tusken massacre there. Orin didn't know whether Ben had a soft spot for sand people or not, but all the same, he wasn't going to be led into a trap.
"Cut him off," he said over the comm system. "Send him into the rift!"
The Roya Rift had always looked to Orin like a wall that a child had built out of blocks and then knocked half of it down. Here, the Jundland wastes bowed inward, a semicircle of flat desert terrain at the mouth of a half-ring of jagged, towering teeth. The wide passageways between the teeth twisted south into the wastes, climbing and subdividing into smaller corridors. The Tuskens loved to hide here. The Oasis attackers had been making for the rift when they'd wound up in Hunter's Gorge, kilometers to the east by mistake. But with the rift, there was no prospect of those on high ground snapping at the posse. The pillars of stone climbed too high, and the paths between rose too gradually, twisting and bending as they went. The land speeder lines held, and Ben veered into the gap. Without pause, his speeder bike rocketed for one of the narrower, rubble-strewn ramps. Within seconds, he was gone from sight. Oren knew then that it was all over for Kenobi. Vigilante vehicles streamed into the semicircle, taking up station in front of all the apertures, not just the one Ben had taken. There was no escape. Mullen brought the gaunt landspeeder to a stop.
Are we going up after him?
Not sure we'll have to, Oren said. He's a tourist. He'll find out there's Tuskens up there and we'll turn right back around.
What if he's pals with the Tuskies like you said?
Mullen asked. Oren rolled his eyes.
That was for the crowd, Mullen.
He smirked. But so what if he is? They'll see we brought an army and kill him all the same. Oren stepped out of the vehicle and straightened his jacket. He nodded for his kids to approach. Now remember, he said quietly, if Kenobi comes out, don't give him a chance to say a word. You cut him down fast and the others will follow. Vika looked at her father. What if he's unarmed? We'll say we saw him draw on us, Oren said. He glared at his daughter. Are you that worried about him? You do want to continue living it up on my money, don't you?
I don't care, she said, spitting on the ground. One less beggar in the desert.
I just wanted to know what you were going to say.
Just follow my lead, as usual.
Oren reached inside the vehicle for the loud hailer. Turning, he walked into the middle of the gathering. Under the noon suns, the stone formations gave Oren the impression of standing within a giant, natural coliseum. The place had fallen silent, except for the click-clacks of blaster rifles being adjusted. Armed settlers crouched behind hovering repulsor craft. Any eyes that weren't on the gaps were on Oren.